And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, just super. Good, going through Pearl Jam set lists. You know,
Joe's fired up.
Trying to figure out what's... Yep, it's another one of those days.
Pearl Jam in the house tonight.
Nashville, Tennessee.
That's right. Another one of those days. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. I didn't bring my own headphones, so these are a little strange for me. They're okay. The little ones today, but I guess we'll make it through. It'll be fine.
Both ears working?
Both ears are working.
Oh, good.
Yeah, there you go.
That's all we can ask for here on this program.
That's right. That's a dub.
That's right. You think Scott Stapp's going to be there tonight for Pearl Jam?
I'm sure. I'm sure he'll be there.
You think they'll call him up?
He'll be trying to impersonate Eddie.
What if they're going at the same time? What if they call him up on stage?
You could be there for this. You know moment. What? I would be heartbroken if that.
Why
happened.
Would you be? No. You could be a part of music history tonight.
They recently they had Chad Smith of the Chili Peppers drumming for them just a few days ago. That would be cool.
Well, Scott Stapp.
No involvement with Creed would be cool. Please don't do that. I can't believe you've even introduced that into the atmosphere.
I'll just say I'm rooting for it. Hope that happens tonight at Pearl Jam.
I will boo. I'll boo loudly.
I hope you don't do that either. I hope you appreciate what's going on out there if it takes place. Good luck to Pearl Jam and all the attendees tonight. Joe Rexer will be there, and he's ready to go. Why wouldn't you be?
Crowd
Pearl
surfing, Jam. Moshing. Let's go.
That's right. What a game last night. Kansas City takes down the Chargers 27-24 in the battle of the AFC West, I guess, co-favorites. Most people I saw picking the AFC West either had the Chargers or the Chiefs. So I think it's fair to call them the two that people felt most likely to win that division. Back and forth game last night. Great start for the Chargers in that game. But Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs made some big-time plays in that game. They were down by 10 in the second half. And then really the big play of the game was a pick six that the Chargers threw. And that ended up being basically the difference in the game. It was a weird play. They went like hurry-up offense there. And it looked like one of their players was trying to get off the field. And then they couldn't get off the field. And you end up throwing an interception on that play. And that was the difference in the game. Justin Herbert got destroyed in the second half of that game. And it looked like he injured his ribs. We'll see what happens on that front. But so it could be a costly loss for the Chargers as they move forward here. But another big win, another statement win by Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. 2-0 without Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. Let's start Friday outright.
Yeah, we're rolling.
Yes,
one
yes.
mute.
Yeah. Justin Herbert. Oh, but by the way, right there's a play that's playing right behind you is the dropped pick.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I think they made the right call. I saw a lot of NFL people on Twitter saying that was clearly a clean interception. I thought it moved. I'm talking about the Mahomes pick.
Yeah.
I mean, that's that's obviously game-changing. I think they got that call right. You know, with Herbert, he's ridiculously good. That pick six was terrible. Now, again, like you said, it was a weird play. So
it's showing it right now. Like, he's trying to get off the field, Everett is, and he can't get off the field. And then they like go hurry up, and he throws it to him. And it looks like he's hurt on the play. Like, he can't get – like, I don't know if he ran the wrong route.
So he it looked like he expected him to come back a lot more than he did. Boy, is that a huge play.
That's a big play.
That's a big win because, honestly, I thought the Chargers were better for most of the game. Yeah. Like, it was like, you know what? I think they might be better. And, by the way, that Derwin James body slam of Travis Kelce.
WWE out there.
My goodness. He's given away about 50 pounds of that guy.
Yeah.
And just lifts him up.
Tossed him into the earth.
Pops the ball out of his hands off the field. like bam, bam. That was – so I like the Chargers a lot. And, yeah, like you said, Herbert looked like he was in some serious pain late. But then he's still throwing dimes.
Yeah.
And thank you for throwing a TD to Joshua Palmer, by the way.
He's getting teed off on left and right in that fourth quarter. He looks like he's in a lot of pain out there.
By the way, those hits were fine.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, they're just, you know, they're hard hits. And he looks like he's in a significant amount of pain. By the way, shout out to Chase Daniel sighting last night. Good to know he's still in the league collecting money. A lot of money he's collected as a backup quarterback. Good for him.
It's a great profession. you can make that work for you. See, now wait. So right there, it's like Herbert's like holding his arm like he has a shoulder thing. That's what's weird. Look at that ball, though. That pass late, set up the late touchdown. I mean, he can make some throws that are just silly. I mean, both of those guys.
Both those quarterbacks are just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a heck of a display when they play. So another good one for us.
Another good one last night. Chargers at 1-1. We'll see if Herbert is healthy moving forward. He did get some x-rays last night after the game, according to multiple reports. So we'll see what happens on that front. But obviously hope he's healthy because watching that guy play is fun. I heard some people talking about this last night. Get used to if you're not sick of Chargers Chiefs yet being on primetime, get used to it because over the next like 12 years, they're going to play a whole lot of games on primetime against each other in that division with those two quarterbacks.
Oh, no doubt. And also, speaking of on primetime, how many people struggled with I must say, I mean, last night we had a what is the freaking password? Oh, my God. Wait. I've said the wrong password three times. What's the Amazon Prime password?
Yeah, there's a lot.
I didn't have the app downloaded on my phone.
There's a lot of talk about that. I mean, I was fine with it because my wife is a big-time Amazon Prime person, so it just kind of is what it is.
So it was there.
I was like, all right, here it is, so whatever.
For a lot of people, for people like you, it's like turn on your TV and
But a lot of people struggle. And there, I saw a whole lot of on Twitter last night of, how is there an NFL football game in 2022 that's not on my television? And I was like,
yeah,
well.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll go ahead and be on that side of the old heads and kind of agree with that. But this is where things are going, too. So we all should acknowledge
this
that.
This is the NFL's attempt, number one, money. But number two, to attract a younger audience. You're always looking for the younger demographic. And people nowadays, a lot of streaming going on out there.
So there is.
Jeff Bezos was cozied up next to Roger Goodell last night. Good stuff.
Well, of course, there's also, it's funny, too, because you hear from some young people of your generation, who are like, I was a cord cutter, and actually I've just plugged the cord back. You know, like this. Yeah. And I will say, like, we're a mess. Like, we got all kinds of stuff going on. I don't even want to, like, add up like all the cost of like watching things, you know.
Yeah,
I'm sure that there's a smarter way to do it than we do it.
I mean, between like Netflix and Amazon Prime and Disney Plus and all this other stuff, yeah, like there's no telling,
right?
How much? And then, like, would I be better off just going and reestablishing the cord?
Right. I mean, it's worth, you know. It's, some people claim yes. It's but the streaming thing, and you know, more and more, I think more and more, like even in college football, it really actually wasn't as in the last round. It's still very much, you know, it's on the networks. But it's going to be going that way. I mean, it's something you got to know what it is, and you got to be prepared to do it.
By the way, one thing to keep in mind on that front, because I know we'll probably get some questions today. Like, so if the Titans are playing on Thursday Night Football, do I have to get Amazon Prime? I think like when your local market is playing, it's on local TV.
Television. So, yeah,
just keep that in mind as you move forward here.
Yeah. So if you don't, if you absolutely don't want to get this stuff, yes, the local stations get a feed.
So
that's good. And also, it was weird to see Herb Street last night doing an NFL game.
It was, yeah, a little weird, but you know what? I like it. I think the Michaels Herb Street combo will be very good moving forward.
Yeah, Michaels always good. It's just it takes a little getting used to. Because it's been Michaels Collinsworth for a long time now.
Yeah.
But and you just obviously identify Kirk Herbstreit with college football. But, yeah, it's football.
It's football. No question about it. Speaking of football, not great news for the Tennessee Titans yesterday, Joe Rexroad. I'm looking at this injury report, and it's pretty crowded for the Titans yesterday. Three examples of a did not practice on Thursday. So Christian Fulton with a hamstring not practicing. Dontrell Hilliard also with a hamstring not practicing, and Kyle Phillips with a shoulder did not practice as well. Ola Adeniyi, Ben Jones, Jamarco Jones, Taylor Lewan, and Dylan Radin's all limited. And Lonnie Johnson, a full participation, who has been dealing with a groin injury. But not great to have Fulton and Hilliard not practicing with hamstrings and Phillips with a shoulder as well. Last thing the Titans need is, I think as you put it yesterday, the hamstring virus to be affecting this team again this early in the season.
And here it just comes right back. They can't fumigate it out of the building. Yeah, that's not great. Obviously, with Hilliard, I love when this stuff happens. You know, Vrabel will not talk about an injury specifically. Okay, we know this, right? So it's like, that wasn't available, and Cornette, and he said some other stuff, and kind of, okay. So we all go up to Hilliard after the game. So you were hurt? No, I wasn't hurt. Just, no, I don't know. Okay, so what's happening? Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. I mean, this is almost the exact same thing as, like, Julio last year. You know, where no one would say what was happening if somebody was hurt, did you get pulled from the game? Obviously, Hilliard would have been on the field if he could have been on the field. And they need him. But they need Christian Fulton, I'd say, more. I mean, this could end up resulting in – I mean, we'll see. Today is a big day. Saturday, everything's moved back a day, so Saturday is the day of designations. But this could end up being Caleb Farley getting a whole bunch more snaps in week two.
Well, as we learned last year, I mean, the hamstring injuries are the ones that you look at and you're like, okay, well, they could go away like tomorrow and they could go away in 4 weeks. Like, it's just and how many times, not just with the Titans, but really throughout all sports, have we seen people just, oh, looks like we're over the hamstring, and come back in there and then immediately it's a problem again. I mean, that's the thing you really worry about with these things. I mean, shoot, it was a problem for Julio Jones all year last year.
Right. Yeah, no question. So – who knows with those two guys. Phillips with the shoulder, not practicing. There you go. We've been talking about, boy, good player, quick feet, all that stuff. Man, is he going to take some hits? Well, he already has. And so if they don't have him, they don't have, through 1 week, Ryan Tannehill's favorite target. You know, another one on here that, I mean, a lot of the other guys are reserves, although Ola Adeniyi is important too, but Lawan, confirmation that it was the knee. It looked like it was, you know, the right knee that he was favoring a little bit. That's the knee that had the ACL repair.
Yep.
Limited is good. I mean, I think that that's an encouraging sign that he was still able to go limited, but something to watch. You need, as we've talked about so many times, peak Taylor Lewan.
Was Dylan Radins on the injury report last week?
He was not. They still practice. I don't know.
He like sleep on the wrong side, or
I
saw that yesterday. I was like, "Huh, okay."
I mean, I can tell you all
he didn't
kinds.
Play,
of,
did he?
I can. I mean, I've opened a jar of pickles, got a neck injury.
I looked at that. And I was like, "Wait a minute, Dylan Radins is hurt. He didn't play." Okay, cool. Whatever, man.
I don't know, man.
Sometimes things happen. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. After week one in the NFL, lots of analysis, lots of overreaction. Maybe we were even guilty of it sometimes on this program as well. But Joe Rex Road's had enough of it. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we are moving into week two of the NFL season, and I guess technically we're already there with the Chiefs and the Chargers playing last night, leaving behind the overreactions of week one that sometimes take place. Now, we've talked a lot on this show, be it in hockey, be it in football, really whatever sport you want to throw out there. Advanced statistics, analytics have become a big part of sports these days. And I think one of my favorite things about them is there are certain stats and certain, you know, programs that you can run, algorithms, whatever you want to call it, that tell you pretty useful information over a course of time. I think that last part of it is the key phrase. Over a course of time, you can learn some pretty good things about whether it be football, you know, running back stats, wide receiver stats, quarterback stats. You know, possession stats in hockey, there's a lot of things you can learn. But sample size is always key in those stats as well. And some people not really all that concerned about the sample size thus far this week. A lot of running with this stuff through week one of the NFL season.
So here's who I don't blame for. So, again, we talked about this yesterday on the show, right? And at some point we've been talking all week about you know, the explosiveness on offense, the passing game. Is it explosive? Can it be explosive? They don't have A.J. Brown. They have, you know, Traylon Burks is a guy that needs to be leaned in on and developed, and I think he can give them that. But other than that, you know, can they be explosive in the passing game? So I don't blame – so, you know, the Titans every week come out with really interesting stats. It's called their supplemental notes. It's later in the week. For example, yesterday included 8-2 in their last 10 Monday night games. That's interesting. It's also interesting since 2008, by the way, all the other teams on this list are like in the 20s or close to 20 in Monday night football games. The Titans just 10,
yep.
But they're 8-2. And a bunch of different stats, but largely the supplemental notes this week are about combined receiving yards by the rookies. Titans led the league 10 for 132. Individual rookies, second and third in the league, Phillips and Burks. Most receptions, first in the league with the 10. So, you know, first of all, that's interesting. It's worth doing a note on if you're in Titans PR. And obviously, this is a huge talking point, right? A.J. Brown's gone. Rookies are in. What does it mean? That's fine. Also, then this is the stat that it's a good stat. Again, Titans – good work. It's very interesting. I would not have guessed this. Number one in the NFL, week one, completions of 20-plus yards, 7. The Vikings, Saints, Commanders was 6, and then on down the line. My problem is with media people who, and some of these were asked. So let me just call out one person in particular. I hope you're awake, John Glennon, because he asked a question yesterday about this, and I immediately texted him during the presser and said, come on. So we went back and forth yesterday. I'm going to read a text. Yeah, Glennon didn't give me permission, but whatever. It's a 6 a.m. hour. Yeah, we can. Yeah, 6 a.m. hour. There's really no rules. Among the back and forth Glennon and I had was, it's indicative. Basically, I was just like, the stat's good, but it's not representative of the game we just saw. Like, I didn't come with that, man, all those explosive plays in the passing game. And Glennon said, yes and no, it wasn't a major storyline, but indicative of Tannehill getting ball downfield much better than last season. His yards per attempt and average depth of target were noticeably up from last year. Then he called me a hater, you know, back and forth. We had fun with this. And I'm just like, dude, like, I did say, dude, he threw one pass of any distance, and it was the PI non-call. Yep. That's my thing. So let's just go through these again. Let's go through each one. Okay, there's 7. There's, and now I think actually the discussion of this is actually probably a little bit of a pro Downing discussion. My thing is, do they have the people who can win and stretch a defense? Okay.
Right.
And take the top off, all that stuff. So what'd they do? They schemed up a nice bootleg for Hollister to get 22 yards. Nice play. You'll take it every time. That's not explosive passing game. They had Hilliard out of the backfield, 31 and 23. Good plays, wildly inefficient defense. The throws to the back of the backfield. That's not the same thing, right? And then Phillips had one that went for 20 that was another, like, you know, it wasn't a long pass. He, you know, he stretched it to 20. So those 5, I'm taking, just take those out. Okay? Are those 5? I guess those are 4.
Those are 4.
Now, I will give you, you know, especially the Burks 27-yarder, but Burks had a 20 and 27, then Phillips had the late 21. Those are good. Like, those are good plays. They're not exactly what I think you think about when you think about explosive passing, but still, like, those are chunks, and you'll take those.
Sure.
So those are something to build on. The rookies are something to build on. But come on. Like no one came out of this game saying, man, that's passing game, huh? Yeah, looking a little bit like depth of target, and no. And this is where, like, we're going to react to every single game, so I can't sit there and say, let's just revisit this in 3 weeks. But I remain concerned that they don't have enough downfield, and that stat, while interesting, is deceiving.
Could it be that maybe you're just a hater? The Titans passing
attack.
It could
be that, too. Maybe it's just being a hater. That could be.
Look, I agree. I mean, I did not come out of the game, you know, thinking to myself, wow, like the Titans have this great downfield passing attack. I will say it is interesting to me, and I would not have guessed it, that out after week one, the Titans lead the league with most, you know, 20-plus yard plays. Like, that's – would not have guessed that. So, you know, I don't think it means nothing, but I didn't walk away from the game on Sunday and think to myself, man, I think the Titans may be pretty dynamic down the field this year. Now, there were encouraging moments. Like, Treylon Burks had some encouraging moments, and – I said it on Monday. If you told me heading into the game he had three catches for 55 yards, I'd be like, okay, cool. Kyle Phillips, six catches, 66 yards. Yeah, I'll take that all day. And I think that would mean good news for the Titans. And ultimately, they did not win the game. So, you know, I think there are encouraging moments, especially from the two rookies. But I didn't walk away from the game Sunday thinking to myself, this is a different Titans offense this year in terms of just big plays left and right down the field.
No, one of the things I came away with was, man, they never went downfield. And they didn't. They didn't go downfield. They did one time, again. And that's a, hey, you drew a PI. They didn't call it, but, okay, that's promising. But,
sure.
But to me, you have to do that more. I mean, you have to do that more. That was the one pass to me of distance that Ryan Tannehill attempted in the game. There has to be more than that. So it's just – it's a little deceiving. And I think obviously Burks having two of those and having the PI, again, it kind of shows you, like, of all these people, and we've talked about a lot, you know, Noah Woods, and by the way, Woods and Hooper yesterday, you know, talked about, you know, basically not being that involved. And, you know, essentially like, well, I'm going to go out there, and if the ball comes my way, it comes my way. But Woods, Hooper, Westbrook, Akine, you know, those guys, I think all of them will probably be more involved in some way Monday, but they've got to be.
Josh from Cookeville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I agree with Rex Road. You watch Mahomes and Herbert last night and see they have an explosive passing game. We unfortunately do not. I still cover my eyes on deep throws. This is from Josh from Cookeville on the text line.
I mean, here's just real quick, here's another this stat. So this is the most completions of 20-plus yards in a game by the Titans from 2018 to 2022. Mike Vrabel's era, okay? Yeah. Number one, Sunday. Great. You know, yeah. December 8, 2019 at the Raiders. Now, there's a day and an offense at the time where they were actually hurting people. And I think A.J. Brown had one of those
like
long
80
ones,
yarder.
Right? Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Also in 18 against the Patriots, and they blew them out here. 19 at Jacksonville, 18 against the Jets, which I honestly don't even remember that. But, you know, seven of them tied it. I bet you there's some in 2020. They're not. The 2020 season isn't even on this list. The explosiveness of that offense compared to this offense that's in one game,
yeah,
is it's not comparable.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans coming up next. Got more of your thoughts to get to as well on the text line. Call Your Shot Friday. Coming up at 6:45, and Titans right tackle Nicholas Petit-Frere at 7 o'clock. Looking forward to all that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Everything, yeah, and use his skill set and his God-given ability. He's working hard to improve.
Where is he in terms of knowing everything, Mike?
Everything? I don't think everybody besides you knows everything. But he's working hard. Joe liked that one. It was a layup, Joe.
Vrabel getting after Kaharski yesterday. Apparently, Joe, you were a big fan of Vrabel, his little snide comment there. It was good stuff.
You know what? It actually made me sad, though, because I thought about it. I was like, you know, I hate Zoom compared to live, but the Zoom pressers with Vrabel, when you could just rip Kaharski in the chat and see if you could get him to laugh, was actually kind of sweet. Not just Kaharski. I mean, you know, you rip other people, but mostly Kaharski.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff, Vrabel.
Well, you could tell, like, I was watching the video stream of that, and as soon as he said it, you could tell, like, the grin was starting to come up on the face, and then he looked up and saw you. He was proud of himself on that one, as he should have been. That was a good one.
Yeah, I was right behind Kaharski, and I was just like, ah, yeah, nice. As Kaharski's taking his little video. Yeah, good one, Mike.
Your voices that you do for Kaharski and Stillman are quite similar sometimes.
I know they're probably too. Yeah. That's where Stillman and Pauly could really run into trouble.
They could, like, really thrive.
We don't know who's talking, who's who. But then again, there's a versatility. They can just trade off, you know?
Yeah. Just back and forth.
All day long.
Always looking forward to the
silly Paul show. I think
that
should be an eight-hour-a-day show, by the way. We don't need four. We need 8 hours of that.
Yeah, totally agree. By the way, I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Crowded House at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Sunday. 615-737-1025. Caller number three at 615-737-1025 will win a pair of tickets to see Crowded House at the Ryman Auditorium coming up this Sunday. 615-737-1025. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from D.C. on the text line, talking about Tannehill, says, I know he's not Brady, but how many big-time wideouts did Brady have before Moss that could stretch the field? The Titans need Ryan to be a game manager like he was in 2020. This is from Matt from D.C. on the text line. I hear that, but they also need big plays in the offense, and they need to be able to win down the field.
I'm not going
to
hear any David Patton slander on this show.
No.
Guy was a fantasy MVP ace for me. I mean, going downfield, Tom Brady. Troy Brown.
Deion Branch won Super Bowl MVP.
Deion Branch, come on. Yeah, granted, those guys, that's the thing. It's like they did go downfield. Like he got guys, they got guys downfield who weren't Randy Moss, right?
Yeah.
But they still did good things offensively. But look, I mean, no one expected this offense to be some run and gun thing. It's just like if you can do that to defenses, it helps you a lot. I'm just saying, I don't think they did. And I think more than anything, it's probably a personnel thing more than a scheme thing. I mean, really, this whole argument is probably more pro Todd Downing in a week where everybody's screaming about Todd Downing than vice versa.
Liam on the text line says, so is Will Fuller still a free agent? After week one's when you sign a guy like that, right? I mean, typically, yeah. I mean, the veteran guarantee goes away if you're not on the roster in week one. So, yes, to answer that that question, it is the time of year where you sign a guy like that. I don't anticipate the Titans doing that at this moment. Like, Will Fuller, he's still out there and available. Like, I feel like at this point, like if a team really thought that Will Fuller could help them, that he'd be on a team at this point. Now injuries happen, and probably by some point at the end of the year, he'll probably end up on a team, but – but I'm kind of surprised he's not on one already.
Yeah. Well, there's an example of health. You know, people talk about A.J. Brown's health. Like, Will Fuller's health history is
– not good.
Yeah. It's like, how many – what handful of games will you get from him? I mean, the Titans have already done the signing of the kind of way past prime, well-known former star receiver who couldn't get active last week. Maybe he will this week. I don't know. But – again, I think the answer is Treylon Burks of folks who are on the roster. I mean, that's the answer.
So if you're Vrabel and Todd Downing and Tim Kelly and everybody involved with this offense, what's your game plan for getting Treylon Burks involved on Monday against Buffalo? I mean, we saw them, you know, take some shots with him. You know, they hit him with a crosser over the middle of the field, had a nice play there as well. You know, the PI that we've talked about that didn't get called. I mean, you can throw a flag on that play. You're 35 yards down the field at that point. So Treylon Burks was effective in that game. How do you make sure that continues and maybe even build upon it as he continues both into this game Monday night and the rest of the season as well?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, the question that Kaharski asked there, which got the nice zinger from Vrabel, is, I mean, that is a good question and a really important one, right? It's like how close is he to – just where you're comfortable with him in different situations. You know, TD was asking questions about personnel groupings and things like that, which, you know, running backs, receivers, which to me, I mean, I kind of took as like basically like, why was Hollister in for a bunch of plays in a row? Nobody else. But that's what they do. I mean, here's our package for, you know, like this red zone package. This is what we're going to do. You know, I mean, I think you can look at that and say why, but you know, they had a handful of plays or three plays or whatever that, like, this group is repping these plays. And right now Treylon Burks is in certain things. You know, Woods, Westbrook, Akine, they can be out there in anything. All right, what are you laughing about?
Just finish your thought.
Now you've derailed my thought.
Mike on the text line, who, by the way, texted in yesterday, said he was only listening so he could hear Jared at 7. Love that guy. So we thought it was the, you know, Jared's burner.
Oh, yes.
Has texted it's back
Starred.
In.
Starred.
And says, yeah, Starred Gilman has texted back in and says, this is Mike. At this point, when do we call the 49ers and try to get Jimmy Garoppolo? and then says make Kelly the offense or the office of coordinator, and that's how you get Burks the ball.
Man, there's a lot of moving parts on that one. Jimmy G, you're in. Ryan, sit down. Kelly, you're calling plays. Todd, help coach the tight ends.
Well, this is the first time that we've talked about going to get another quarterback this week. I thought there was a chance. Like, if you'd have told me the Titans lost to the Giants in week one, I said, oh, we're going to get a lot of that. A lot of people looking for the quarterback. Yeah. But Tannehill played well. But Tannehill's not the problem.
But Mike has finally got to the issue. Let's get Jimmy G in here. If you could.
By the way, I thought TD brought up a good point yesterday, and it was a fascinating conversation between him and Jared yesterday on the show. But, in the Todd Downing discussion, going to this point, make Kelly the offensive coordinator. That's how you get Burks the ball. It has been interesting, and TD brought this up of.
I mean, is he not here able to tell people what he
thinks? Well, yeah, I mean, he's on the staff, and, this is not exclusive to Todd Downing, but this is what happens when you get into, perception of the fan base and how negatively he's viewed right now. Like, everything good that happens, like throwing the ball to Dontrell Hilliard down the field or. You get Cody Hollister open. The TD was like, well, there's that Tim Kelly influence on the offense, and then things go poorly, and, you're running the ball as much as they do it running on first down. It's like, well, it's Todd Downing. Everything bad that happens is Todd Downing. Everything good that happens for the offense is Tim Kelly. Like, I don't know if I buy into it necessarily to that extreme that TD was talking about, but it is interesting. Like, his point was Todd Downing is basically in a no-win situation, and I pretty much agree with that.
Yeah, and we've talked about that before the season. So, in other words, he was being sarcastic, like people are like, whenever they schemed up good plays, which they did. They schemed up some good plays Sunday.
Yeah.
That must be Kelly. That's what he's saying. Like, yeah. Oh, that must be Kelly then. Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, first of all, just the larger point of, like, well, that's how you do it is you put Kelly in charge. I mean, I guess it's possible that Kelly's in there doing work as the passing game coordinator and contributing his ideas, and Todd Downing is like, nope, Derrick Henry on first down. Shut up, Tim. Give me a sandwich.
Take a seat.
Yeah. I'm guessing his input is received and probably folded into game plans. Todd Downing calls the plays. I mean, he's a play caller, but I think Tim Kelly was brought in and paid so that he could actually contribute. But, yes, I agree. He is in a no-win situation. And it's fair to point out that Vrabel they wouldn't be doing stuff offensively that Vrabel's against. I mean, do we think that on a weekly basis, every once in a while, Vrabel's like, what the heck was that? Isn't like, what was that play call or whatever? Or Vito's a play call? I'm sure. I think that happens with all head coaches.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean the Vrabel, philosophically, they've been pretty consistent. And also, by the way, it's worked pretty well for them. My thing is just predictability. Can you be a little bit less predictable? But if you go through the whole thing with Todd Downing, there are good things to find. They were very good in the red zone on third down last year. Is that credit to him at all or no?
I mean, I think it is. It's never all as rosy or all as bad as people make it out to be. It's just the truth of the matter.
But people want a scapegoat.
And, of course.
And again, this is something separate from Todd Downing, we've talked about so much. And the OC is just, it's the lightning. It's a lightning rod position in sports. All that said, I'm not saying that, just leave Todd Downing alone. Everything's fine. It's kind of a no-win situation for him, and it's a big week and year for him.
Justin on the text line says, wouldn't you think Cole Beasley would be good slot depth for the practice squad?
Holy crap, Cole Beasley. How much Cole Beasley are we getting?
Practice squad. He's just talking practice squad.
Depth for the practice squad.
Yeah. Well, hey, this week.
Need some good twos on the practice squad.
This week, he's a former Bill. Maybe he can get in there. Marcus Johnson was on the Giants last week. Maybe some inside info.
That's true. Cole Beasley can come in here and tell them about the offensive plays that they can clearly see by their own film study. I think that's worth a shot. I need people to sign Cole Beasley and Will Fuller. Someone out there, please sign them. The Titans have Beasley. They have a rookie Cole Beasley-ish player. Although
he's hurt.
Boy, that would be tough for them if Kyle Phillips in week two in this game can't go.
Would not be good. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I'd move the time a little bit around today. So an early edition of Call Your Shot Friday here today on the program. We'll take your thoughts, your submissions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Call Your Shot Friday next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday, a little early edition of Call Your Shot Friday today. As always, we'll take your thoughts, your submissions, your bold predictions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Okay, let's see. I had Anthony Richardson, a touchdown pass, less than 10 seconds left to lift the Gators to a 27-24 win over Kentucky. No.
Did not have
it. Dunk on me. That's right. Will Shepard, more than 100 yards and two touchdowns against Wake Forest. Actually, did he? I think he had – did he have the two touchdowns?
I don't think so.
I don't think – I don't think that happened, but I actually – I thought he had the two touchdowns. I don't think he had the 100 yards, though. I'll double check that and give myself credit if he did. Jimmy Holiday, a touchdown of more than 70 yards at Pittsburgh. That did not happen. Oh.
Will Shepard had one touchdown.
He had one touchdown. Okay, yeah. Thank you. And here's the absolute shot of the week. I'm just going to
I know what you're going to say.
Austin Hooper will have more receiving yards than Saquon Barkley has rushing yards. Yay.
That went well.
Yeah, just finger on the pulse of this team and football in general. Congratulations to me. Robbie, you had A.J. Dillon, Aaron Jones combined for 150-plus and two touchdowns against the Vikings. Did not happen. Rashawn Gary, two sacks against Minnesota. Did not happen. Cedric Tillman, two touchdown receptions of 45 yards or more. He had a 62-yard touchdown that was called back at the inch line.
I know.
So, but, you know.
He dropped another one.
Dropped another one. Yeah, you were in the neighborhood. Then, of course, he had the 28-yarder to win it, but yeah. You're in the neighborhood. Titans will force a safety against the Giants after a great punt by Stonehouse. Did not happen. Tannehill rushing TD of more than 10 yards. Did not happen. And the Raiders, Chargers, more than 65 points. Did
the
not happen.
The defensive struggle. It's a rough week for me in Call Your Shot Friday.
I still love the Michelle shot. Will Levis, more than 555 passing yards.
I thought you were going to say, this is the shot of the week. That's why I started laughing.
I would, except for my Hooper Barkley shot, which is just beautiful. Look at this. Pitt in OT over UT with a field goal. Ooh,
got the OT right.
Close.
I got the OT, yeah.
Derrick Henry, more than 115 touchdowns against the Giants. No. Bud Dupree, sack trick with three. I think you tweeted earlier in the game after he had one. You're like, oh, here comes the sack.
Here it comes, yeah. And then nope.
Yeah. And then Texas stuns Alabama so close.
That was close.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was pretty good last week, actually, other than the Will Levis one. We'll just forget about that.
Yeah,
555 yards.
You're in the neighborhood. Yeah, you're in the neighborhood on some of them, yes. So
how many yards did he end up with? Do we know?
I think just about
did he get to 200?
Maybe two.
Yeah, no. It wasn't.
Only about 350 off.
Super close.
He's right in there, yeah. All right. Who's calling the shots first?
Michelle Knezevic is calling shots first today.
Okay, guys, I just need to do an update that the Cincinnati Reds have made it to 57 games.
Nope. Nah, it's too bad.
So we were so close. We so really close. Were in the home stretch. So okay, first called shot. This is Monday Night Football called shot. Titans shock the Bills. They win on a pick six by Kevin Byard.
Wow.
Okay.
That would be shocking.
That would be shocking.
Okay, right. I called a very similar shot to this when they went to LA and played the Rams, and I was right last year. So,
Titans fans, get excited.
Okay, Derrick Henry. We're going to try this one again. Rushes for 163 yards.
Very specific. Okay.
One TD.
Okay, 163 and one touchdown.
And I only got three today. Rashad Weaver with two sacks.
Okay.
Okay.
If he gets two sacks again, I mean, he had two sacks last week.
Yes.
He gets two sacks again.
Well, that'd be
a heck of a pace, man.
That'd be a pretty good start.
It would be. Joe Rexroad, your called shots of the week.
All right. Squirrel White, a touchdown of more than 50 yards. I'm gonna keep going to backup receivers with long touchdowns. Against the Zips, there's a lot of possibilities here. But Squirrel White, touchdown of more than 50 yards against the Akron Zips.
Okay.
Joe Milton, you better believe I got a Joe Milton shot. We'll have one touchdown running. We'll have one touchdown passing. I mean, when he comes in, you know, the score is going to be to the point where you're not going to pass a lot, but you're still running your offense. Let him run his offense. He'll get a couple touchdown drives, finish him off. Ray Davis, the game-winning touchdown catch at Northern Illinois.
Okay.
This is an injury-related shot. Hassan Haskins will have a combined 50-plus rushing and receiving yards for the Titans.
So, a Hilliard injury related.
Yes, yes. It's a.
No, if you're anticipating Derrick Henry not being able to finish the game.
I'm anticipating. No.
Okay.
Yes, this is a Dontrell Hilliard hamstring.
Okay. Yeah, don't scare people.
I mean, you know, they drafted Hassan Haskins to come in and help.
For sure.
Him, and
yeah.
So I think you're going to see him out there. And, you know, they need Hilliard. Obviously, for their sake, they would love to have Hilliard this week, but those hammies. I just think, you know, you just don't want that to be an all-year thing. And finally, Caleb Farley will have an interception. Will have an interception for the Titans against the Bills.
I like that. That's good stuff. Caleb Farley, interception against the Bills. I'm interested in this matchup with the receivers that they have. Is he on the field more? Like, you know, we talked about could they be more – you know, matchup-based in terms of when they use Caleb Farley. Interested to see if this week falls in that category.
And on that point, they played Barkley. Ugo or Ugo. God dang it, we meant to nail that down yesterday. We're going to figure that out before the show ends today.
Okay.
You're playing a team that you know wants to run the ball and a physical, tough back. Against the Bills, are you less concerned about a slot receiver who you feel good about is in run support? Maybe. I think you may see some different personnel combinations Monday.
All right, we'll see what happens on that front. My called shots of the week, the Chicago Bears love fest ends very quickly on Sunday night.
I meant to call that one, darn.
Green Bay wins by 24 points.
Oh.
24-point win.
Nice.
For the Packers.
Robbie.
The Bears suck. They're awful. They're just terrible. So just be ready. Sunday night, it's going to be an annihilation football.
I want you to keep that energy when Jeremy Piven comes in later because he's a Bears fan.
Well, that's fine.
I want some Packers-Bears arguing.
You know, I hope he enjoys himself at Zanies this weekend, but he's not going to enjoy himself Sunday night watching the Packers and the Bears. I will say Hendon Hooker has 5 touchdowns by 3 minutes left in the second quarter. And then he's done. 3 minutes left in the second quarter. 5 touchdowns for Hendon Hooker.
Passing
or running.
Okay.
Just 5 total touchdowns, and he's done at that point. We'll get an entire half of Joe Milton. The whole half.
Oh, yeah.
He plays the whole time against Dackard. So I'm looking forward to that. And my final called shot is this. In the Titans and Bills game, Treylon Burks will have a 70-plus yard touchdown.
Ooh.
70-plus yard touchdown. Like he gets loose, it's one-on-one coverage, he breaks a tackle, and he's gone. I'm not saying they've chucked 155 yards down the field to him. I think he gets loose after the catch.
That's how A.J. got a lot of his big plays, too. So the Titans would definitely take that. That would be explosive.
I think that
would qualify as explosive.
That would qualify as explosive. There is no question about it. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. My text line's not loading right now, but I remember one from memory. Craig on the text line says, now that Marcus Freeman has joined the Catholic Church, no way the Fighting Irish lose another game this year. Hashtag call your shot Friday. I did not know that Marcus Freeman had joined the Catholic Church, but tough start for him as head coach of Notre Dame.
Worth a shot.
John on the text line says, Aaron Judge will tie or pass Roger Maris by the end of September. Aaron Judge had a heck of a season so far for the New York Yankees. So congratulations to those Yankees fans out there. We'll see if they can get it done this year in the postseason. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Nicholas Petitfrere, Titans right tackle. We'll get his thoughts on the game coming up against the Bills and what he learned in his NFL debut in Week 1 against the Giants as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.